Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, How Capitalism Saved America, The Untold History of Our Country. From the Pilgrims to the Present is a nonfiction economic history and polemical defense of free enterprise by Thomas J. DiLorenzo, published in 2004. It argues that the United States became prosperous, not because of central planning or political management, but because of private property, voluntary exchange, division of labor, and relatively free markets. DiLorenzo writes from an Austrian school perspective, and the book revisits familiar moments in American history to challenge mainstream interpretations of progress, crisis, and reform. Rather than treating capitalism as one interest group among many, the book presents it as the institutional foundation of rising living standards, innovation, and social cooperation. Its purpose is both historical and argumentative to reinterpret episodes such as the Pilgrims, the Robber Barons, and the New Deal in order to defend capitalism as the main driver of American development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, capitalism as the institutional basis of American prosperity. The book defines capitalism in institutional terms rather than as a simple preference for business owners or wealth accumulation. Its core emphasis is on private property, freedom of contract, division of labor, and voluntary exchange, all of which are treated as the conditions that make cooperation productive at scale. DiLorenzo argues that these arrangements do not merely create profits for entrepreneurs. They coordinate, disperse knowledge and incentives in ways that improve outcomes for ordinary people. This framing is important because it shifts the debate away from whether markets can be imperfect and toward whether any alternative system can match their ability to generate growth, specialization, and consumer choice. The book's central claim is that American prosperity followed from these market institutions, not from government direction, by grounding its argument in economic structure. The book aims to show that capitalism is not an ideological slogan, but the practical system that made broad-based abundance possible. Secondly, reinterpreting the Pilgrims as an early lesson in incentives and property rights. One of the book's most distinctive moves is its use of the Pilgrims as an early American case study in the failure of compulsory common ownership. DiLorenzo uses this episode to argue that systems that detach effort from reward weaken incentives, reduce productivity, and create hardship even among well-intentioned communities. The point is not simply that the Pilgrims struggled, but that their experience illustrates a general economic principle: when people cannot retain the fruits of their labor, output falls and dependence rises. Once property rights and more market-like arrangements emerge, the incentives change and prosperity becomes more attainable. This chapter-level argument helps the book establish a recurring pattern that later historical episodes are meant to confirm. It also allows DiLorenzo to link early colonial history to later debates about socialism, collectivism, and state planning. The Pilgrims become a compact example of the book's broader thesis that human cooperation works best when it is voluntary and property-based rather than coerced. Thirdly, The Robber Barons and the book's revisionist view of industrial capitalism, DiLorenzo devotes attention to the popular criticism of 19th-century industrialists, especially the Robber Barons' narrative, because he sees that story as central to anti-capitalist history writing in the United States. In his telling, industrial expansion should be evaluated by its effects on consumers and workers, not by resentment toward wealth accumulation or large-scale enterprise. He argues that capitalism lowered prices, widened access to goods, and increased living standards. So the main question is not whether some businessmen became rich, but whether markets made ordinary people better off. This is a different standard from moralized accounts that treat concentration of wealth as proof of exploitation. The book's broader method is to reframe industrial capitalism as an engine of mass production and mass consumption, rather than a conspiracy of elites. That revisionist stance is important because it challenges the conventional assumption that government regulation was needed to rescue society from markets. Instead, DiLorenzo presents industrial capitalism as a major source of democratized abundance and social improvement. Fourthly, the Great Depression and New Deal through an Austrian school lens. The book also applies Austrian school economics to the Great Depression and the New Deal, treating them as episodes that are often misunderstood in mainstream historical accounts. Rather than presenting the Depression as proof that markets failed and government intervention succeeded, DiLorenzo is skeptical of the idea that federal action solved the underlying problem. He uses the crisis to examine how policy, regulation, and political intervention can prolong or distort economic recovery. This approach is consistent with the book's broader suspicion of public planning and its preference for decentralized market adjustment. By placing the Depression within a longer history of intervention, DiLorenzo attempts to show that instability is not evidence against capitalism itself, but often evidence of earlier distortions and later policy errors. The New Deal therefore functions in the book as a test case for whether large-scale government action deserves its reputation as a rescue mechanism. The argument is not merely historical. It is also methodological, since it asks readers to evaluate economic crises by incentive effects and unintended consequences, rather than by the visibility of government activity. Lastly, why the book treats modern regulation and environmental policy as limits on exchange, in its later chapters and contemporary reflections. The book extends its defense of capitalism into debates over regulation, taxation, and environmental policy. DiLorenzo argues that excessive public regulation can reduce entrepreneurship, distort prices, and interfere with the flexible coordination that markets provide. His framework treats regulation not as a neutral correction to market failure, but as a potential source of barriers that protect established interests and burden new entrants. The environmental question is especially important because it lets the book connect economic freedom with debates over modern governance. DiLorenzo's position is that market exchange, property rights, and competition can often address social needs more effectively than top-down rules, particularly when regulation becomes expansive or politicized. This part of the book shows that its defense of capitalism is not confined to distant history. It is meant to speak to present policy disputes as well, by tying modern regulation to the same basic principles that structure earlier chapters. The book presents a consistent argument that freedom of exchange remains the most reliable engine of prosperity and adaptation. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a forceful, historically oriented defense of capitalism and are open to a strongly revisionist interpretation of American economic history. It will appeal to students of political economy, readers interested in the Austrian school, and those who want a counter-argument to familiarities about the failures of markets and the benefits of intervention. Its main practical value is that it teaches readers to evaluate historical episodes through incentives, property rights, and institutional incentives rather than through slogans about fairness or state action. Intellectually, it stands out because it does not limit itself to abstract theory. It tries to reinterpret major American milestones from the colonial period to modern regulation as evidence for the same underlying claim. Compared with many popular economics books, it is more historical in structure and more explicitly ideological in purpose. Compared with standard U.S. history surveys, it is more concerned with economic causes than with political narration. Readers will find it most useful as a provocative, compact synthesis of free market argument and economic history, especially if they want to understand how one libertarian economist builds a broad case for capitalism as the central source of American prosperity. If you would like to support Thomas J. DiLorenzo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.